This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for You May Talk to Phil. 1-800-449-8686. You can call us and talk to us. Comment on any aspect of the show. Comment on any aspect of any opinion you've heard on this program. Or have me comment on any aspect of your opinion. Whatever it may be, however dull it might be, however short we keep you on the air, if at all, you can call us at 1-800-449-8686. Why this music for Now You May Talk to Phil? I don't know. I just picked it at random off of the Space Capade CD. And so far, it blows fairly significantly. It's called Love by Richard Marino and his orchestra. Check out that xylophone. Check out the marimba. The whole fang. Got the whole fang down? Give us a call. You got the whole fang down? Give us a call. 1-800-449-8686. I'd like you to hear something, and then I'll comment on that. And here is what I'd like you to hear.
All right, so the grandparents are going to visit grandkids.
They're going there. I'm tagging along with them.
Can they prove that they went to see grandchild or some way?
I don't need to give any proof to anybody.
I would like to see some kind of proof.
Oh, I don't care what you want.
Listen to the Phil Hendry Show.
A signed note from a grandchild or anything stating that I saw Nana or some kind of a small thing like that. I don't think that's too much to ask.
It's none of your business.
Have a child in crayon
it's
just
none
like
of your
that. I see Nana.
Okay, that's the segment from our show. Was that from yesterday, Craig? Yes, that was from yesterday's show. That was me playing the part of Jay Santos, Brigadier General with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Each and every day on this radio show, I play different characters. Some of them you hear a lot, some you don't hear as much. Different characters that represent a certain point of view that I may have, or a certain point of view that more likely I want to make fun of. Last hour? Well, you know what you heard. Next hour? You're going to hear something else. All of these characters that I do represent certain people that I've met, certain people that I know, maybe people that you know, that are enabling us to send a message or make some kind of a funny gag and all the while comment on a human experience, yada, yada, yada. That's what we do on this show. So when you hear the Jay Santos bit, day you know that that's me. Now you say, well, why are you telling us, Phil? It spoils the joke. No, it doesn't. The fact of the matter is, the more that people know that it's Phil Hendry doing the voice of the character, the voice of the guest, the more they like the show. And I ain't in this for my health. I'm in this for two reasons, fame and money. Not to make the world better. Where'd you get that idea? Not to try to improve the lot of America. Fame and money. And when I was single, chicks. But I solved that problem. I met my beautiful wife at the radio station I was working at the time, and now I'm married too. So, to recap, the reason why I'm in this business is for fame and money. The way I achieve fame and money is to let people know how talented I am. And the way I let people know how talented I am is to explain to them that when you hear the voice of Bobby Dooley, you hear the voice of Margaret Gray, you hear the voice of Jay Santos, you hear the voice of Rudy Canoza, you hear the voice of Pastor William Rennick, you hear the voice of Comb Over Boy, you hear whatever, it's me. And really, it's just a lot of fun. And people say, well, you do the show, isn't that tiring? You know that it's easier for me to do the show that way than to sit here and jaw-jack for hours on end about bullcrap that no one could care anything about, trying to get callers motivated with some point of view about some kid who shot the teacher in Florida, and aren't we outraged, and what are we going to do about it? I couldn't care less. The kid shot the teacher. You want to know what I think they had to do with that kid in Florida? You don't want to know what I think they had to do with that kid in Florida, because the listening to my opinion about it was so extreme and ridiculous, it's not going to do you any good. I think they ought to beat the kid to death with a bat and dump his body off a pier. But that's ridiculous. It's inhuman. It's uncivilized. I'm not going to express that opinion on the air. I'm going to let a character do that. I don't care if he's 14. I don't care if he's black. I don't care if he's disadvantaged. And I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal Democrat. I think Bill Clinton's one of the greatest presidents we ever had. I still think they should take the 14-year-old black kid and beat him to death with the butt of his own gun. But I'm not going to say that because what good is that going to do? Instead, I come up with this whole idea of doing the characters. And we do a lot of other things on our program. One of our most recent features that we introduced, For the Love of God, Would You Please Change Your Name? Which we really had a lot of fun with that. And, of course, I tell you things about my life, tell you crap, you know, that you may or may not be interested in. And then we also do You May Now Talk to Phil. The reason why we do this is because it gives our audience a chance to catch up, to hook up, and for us to talk. And because we don't really run a talk show the way other people do, which is this program is not reliant necessarily upon each and every single day getting your take on the world's events. We don't care. And if we did that kind of a show, well, frankly, I'd rather just swallow a D battery or something. So that's how we do that. 1-800-449-8686. Now, here, let's go to our very first You May Now Talk to Phil call. And it's Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Phil. Was wondering, what do you plan on doing in the next 5 years? You still plan on doing your show, or are you going to be getting into bigger, better things of film, cartoons?
I don't know. What do you think I ought to do?
I don't know. I think you'd be pretty funny doing a one-man show of cartoon voices.
That would be cool. We were planning and are still planning a one-man show, Richard, as you speak. I did a TV pilot last month. I'm going to talk to somebody about hosting some kind of crap on television. I don't know. If it's interesting and fun, we'll do it, even if it has to do with TV.
Cool. Are you going to let us know when that pilot's going to be here?
I don't know if it'll... What they do with a pilot is they show it to the brass, and then
right.
The brass at the network...
Like
you got it. They decide whether they like it or not. And I certainly will. If it airs, I will come on the air and tell you. And I did a King of the Hill. I did a Futurama last week. As soon as I have the date for that, I'll let you know.
Oh, I got to see that. I'm a big fan of that.
Oh, are you? I've done like three Futuramas.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet. The money's really crappy. No, it's okay. It ain't that 50 G's they make with The Simpsons each episode. But,
right.
You know, we're going to hold out, and they won't care, and they'll hire someone else.
All
so,
right.
Richard, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Okay, bye. Oh, that was the only call that we had that was worth it. Mike's still trying to desperately screen the calls here at 1-800-449-8686. You May Now Talk to Phil. So that's the way we do our show. In other news at our house, my wife's a big Tylenol fan, and I wanted to just say to the people at Tylenol, if you need a spokesperson, my wife Maria is the one. My wife uses Tylenol for everything, and the other day I heard an all-new one. I had a little bit of a sunburn because we were out, you know, in the sun. It was a gorgeous weekend, and so we spent the weekend kind of soaking some rays, a little bit of a sunburn, and my lovely wife Maria said to me, "Do you want a Tylenol?" And I thought, well, that's heavy. For a sunburn? I never heard of that before. Mike says he downs Tylenol for everything. He downs them for sunburns. He downs them for an upset stomach, stub toe. The kids come in the house, they've scraped their knee falling off a bike. Do you want a Tylenol? Is that so weird to you? Hey, I've got malaria. It's recurring from that baton death march. Do you want a Tylenol? I think that ought to be the thing of the company, you know? Do you want a Tylenol? God damn, I tell you, this concentration camp, it's getting to me, man. How about a Tylenol? Because Tylenol is the cure-all for everything, according to my lovely wife, Maria. Damon, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Very good, how are you?
All right. Hey, I wanted to know, if the time you had Larry King on and you got him going,
yes.
Did he ever find out that was you?
Yes, he did. In fact, you know how he found out? I walked up to him at a Museum of Radio and Television event, and I said, "Hi, Larry, I'm Phil Henry," and I was on the air in Miami, and he immediately got the look on it. He was, first of all, surrounded by, like, five gorgeous women and the president of the network that he was on.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Larry, I'm Phil Henry. I'm from Miami. I did the bit, the Bob Green voice." And he went from having a friendly look to a, "Oh, yeah, very funny." And that was it, and I slunk away. He put me in. So, in other words, he socially shut me off and wouldn't introduce me to anybody that he was with.
Yeah.
I understand he probably didn't think it was very funny, and what the hell?
It was hilarious. Everybody else thought it was funny.
Well, I'm going to play it again for you since you mentioned it.
Oh, great.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
I got the Larry King bit right here. So, should I play it now? I'll play it when we come back. The Larry King bit where we put Larry King on. He thought that I was the general manager of a radio station. I don't know. I haven't heard this thing in a long time. It may go on too long, and it might suck, but I think it's pretty funny. So we'll hear it here in a minute on The Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Henry.
back when I was on in Miami, locally, I was on in Miami at WIOD. We're on at WINZ now. Really proud to be on that station with Rick and Suds and Randy Rhodes and everybody. Back in the day at 95, we were on at WIOD when it was a talk station. And here is me, doing the voice of our general manager, Bob Green, and putting Larry King on. Hello, Larry.
Hi, guys.
How you doing today?
Super.
I understand you're getting ready to go to Los Angeles?
Yeah, the snow stopped after 2.5 days of being trapped here. It's all blue skies now, but we got about 3 feet on the ground, which is, I think...
You guys are snow, absolutely snowed
in Washington.
Yeah. Every time I try, I go to the Midwest a lot. Every time I try to travel up there, it's like every time New York is shut down, the rest of the country gets shut down.
Yeah, well, everything is shut. I mean, if anyone's listening in Miami and they're flying to the Northeast,
Larry, how you doing? Hi, Larry. Bob Green.
Bob, how are you?
How you doing today?
Fine.
I wanted to take over a little segment here of Phil's show, if I could.
Sure.
Because we were, and I mentioned this to you when I called you originally. First of all, Henry Barrow sends his regards. Not that I've talked to Henry since.
My man, Henry.
Henry sends his regards. Cheryl sends her regards to you.
That's great. Cheryl's still working there?
Yes, she is.
My God, she'll get her Social Security there.
I'm not going to tell her that.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell her that.
God.
We, frankly, Larry, were a little bit taken aback, I guess is the best way to put it, by comments you made to Coach Shula on your program. My understanding was it was Friday evening.
Yeah, well, I was taken aback when I had two different friends call me on, I think it was, one called Thursday night and one called Friday when it was learned that Don was going to retire. And they both said, boy, have you heard your old radio station? I said, no, I worked there 20 years with the only station ever to do the Dolphins. And they said, they're creaming them to death. I said, what do you mean over there? These maniacs are calling in and they're saying personal things about them and they're vilifying them. And there's a guy in the morning looking to knock him off. He should be out of coaching, and he's too old, and another guy criticizing the way he looks. So when I heard that from two different people, what I said to Don was, I heard that the station I worked at and you worked at, because Don and I did a show together every day on WIOD for...
Right.
Was rapping you, and he
Phil
said
Costin,
he hasn't... All he said, well, I'm just finishing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Then he said he hadn't listened to talk radio in 2 years, but that he'd heard about it.
Well...
That's all. So if I'm wrong, tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, first of all, we were not personally attacking Coach Shula. We do a talk show here, as you do. We have several. What we did do, and any talk show would do, certainly relative to a story of this kind of local import, was invite our listeners to call and voice their opinions.
The host had no personal opinions about
Neil,
the coach?
Neil Rogers, quite frankly, if you're speaking of Neil Rogers or Rick and Suds or any of the shows here, had nothing but the most glowing things to say about Coach Shula in his retirement. Now, while
hold on. Neil Rogers has something glowing to say about someone?
Neil was on the day the retirement was announced. Neil said nothing
I'm talking
but,
about before the retirement. I'm talking about after the retirement. After the retirement, the whole city applauded him.
I can assure you this, Larry.
What about before the retirement?
All right,
I can assure you there was
nothing personal in any negative statement made by Neil Rogers.
What kind of criticisms were there?
That he had his coaching ability had begun to slump. That the game perhaps was passing him by, that it was time to make room for a coach, and as you know, the popularity of Jimmy Johnson here is well known.
I wrote in my column 3 years ago that Jimmy was going to come and coach Miami, and Jimmy told me that in Dallas.
Phil Costin just says hi too. He's in the other studio.
But just let me say this.
Yes.
There's a way you can do it and a way you cannot do it. Now you can encourage callers to vilify. I've been doing this a long time.
I understand that.
I started.
I know that you were with our radio station for many years. Yeah.
And so I know how to do a talk show.
Daisy Pumpernickel.
And I know how you can storm up a crowd. And the people who told me I have faith in. So you're telling me that Neil Rogers praised him,
Larry,
I would be shocked.
I would not even bother you. I wouldn't even bother you with a phone call where
I'm not talking about after retirement, everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
That.
That's below.
No, I'm talking about before Coach Shula announced
were your
his retirement.
Callers personal or insightful?
The callers, some of the callers may have been, some may
when
have not.
When they were, what did you say to them?
We got rid of them very quickly, to be perfectly honest with you.
You know, they,
many
you
of them
no,
are dumped.
Your inciting calls were off the air right away?
They were off the air right away, and I can
I
tell you...
And I apologize to Mr. Rogers for his fairness.
Thank you.
To the rest of the staff, and that the two people who told me
because
must have been hearing things.
I got to tell you, Larry, I take what I do very seriously.
Hello?
Larry, Bob's a little emotional.
I'm sorry, I take what I do very seriously. And to have our radio station vilified on national...
Now, hold on 1 second, Bob. your station. I was
Bob,
in Miami. How long have you been general
get
manager?
Get Bob a glass of water or something.
How long have you been general manager?
I've been here since 1992.
Okay, I was in Miami 2 years ago. The worst talk radio I ever heard in my life was on WIOD. The worst.
You see, it's comments like that that I think are very unfair.
You want an opinion or not? Do you think Neil Rogers is a good talk show host?
I think he's the best in the business.
I think he's the worst I've ever heard.
I think he's the best in the business.
Well, if you're proud of him, if you're crying because Neil Rogers has been vilified,
what I need to do
here? You've got a weird case going here, man.
Larry, could I jump?
Why don't you go on Neil and cry with each other?
All right, Larry, could I jump in for a minute?
This is insane.
Well, I've got a general manager here who's crying. Bob, if you can't handle this, I can do this or whatever we want to do.
I can handle. I never heard a worse station.
All right. I think that's patently unfair of you, and I would demand an apology for that statement.
For having an opinion?
No, for saying that this is the worst talk radio you've ever heard. You know the influence that you have over people.
It's
you
the worst talk radio I ever heard.
I demand an apology for that statement.
I will not give it to you.
I demand an apology for that statement. I'll ask you again as a gentleman.
What are you asking me to apologize?
To apologize for vilifying a radio station that I give my heart and soul to.
Bob, I think...
Larry's expressing an opinion, Bob.
Bob.
Shut
you...
up, Phil.
Shut
you
up,
can
Phil.
Shut your mouth.
You're the general manager. You're telling your host to shut up.
Bob, what I'm asking you to do is to
please... Hey, guys, I was on that station,
yeah.
You could look up class and
right.
You'd get WIOD written as class.
Who did you name
this
somebody
is
you
an
work,
embarrassing
who
thing.
Did you work with? Who did you work with?
I worked with
Owen
Wilson.
Oh, he was terrible.
Goodbye, Bob.
He was absolute. Wait a second.
I'm not going to talk.
No, but wait a second.
Wait a minute. On behalf of the Big Wilson family,
yes.
I demand an apology for you.
Bob,
Big Wilson
Bob
passed away, and you called him terrible.
All right, so could the kettle call the pot black? Is that
okay.
What it is? You come
apologize
on here.
Apologize to the Wilson family.
All right, I apologize.
All right,
to
now, what do you think of Bill Calder?
Bill Calder was probably one of the best I ever heard.
The great talent. We did
he
loads of things together.
He was a terrific talent. And by the way, he was a very close friend of Neil Rogers.
Do you think Neil Rogers is a talent?
I think Neil Rogers is the preeminent radio talent in America today. Now,
he's
I,
the worst
I
talk show host I've ever heard.
I demand an apology.
No.
I demand it.
Bob, we can go
back and forth on this, Bob.
Bob,
yes.
You don't even know your own station.
On behalf of the Rogers family, apologize.
Bob, this we can go
what
back
family?
And forth with this all the time.
Oh, what is that? And what's that crap supposed
all right,
to mean?
I apologize.
His mother is listening.
I apologize to Neil Rogers' wife.
What is that crack supposed
you
to
mean? You said his family.
I'm talking about his mother. He has he has relatives in this
no,
area.
No, I would tell his mother that she raised a son who's a terrible talk show host.
Bob, either you can go on with this or you can't.
Bob, you can keep going with this. I'm not going to change my opinion.
I can't believe it.
Well,
I can't.
Bob, listen, man. If you want to come
really
on.
Crying for Neil
he's like crying over here. Give
for
him
Neil
some
Rogers?
Of this.
I'm sorry.
Well, sorry, Bob.
Hey, Larry, can I just ask you a question here? Where do you think Coach Shula is going to be going after this? Do you think he's going to
I think he's going to be he'll be vice president of operations.
He's running the team. Yeah, he's going to run the team from that standpoint. But do you think he might want to entertain any other coaching possibilities?
You know, there's a rumor that Baltimore would ask him.
I want an apology.
Bob, shut up.
I don't believe he's the general manager.
You know what? At this point, neither do I.
Yeah, I don't.
All right.
He can't be gentleman. Is this a?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something.
Are you still owned by Cox?
Yes, we are owned by Cox.
You know, I do charities for Cox every year, and have made appearances for the Cox people all over the country.
Have you raised money?
I don't. Of course.
Well, that's a shock.
All right. What Bob, if this is going
to
be contentious, I don't want to.
I'm not
going to
make it contentious by telling you
what
I feel.
What? Hello.
So there it was. That was right after Shula retired, which would be the, you know, like January, February of 96. Larry King, who I then, like I said, I approached probably in early or late 96. I guess about a year after we did the bit and said, that was me. Larry King's a huge star, and he has huge influence. And he probably doesn't even remember. Maybe he didn't even remember the bit, but he did say to me, oh, yeah, it was funny. As he stood there with a number of blondes. Gee, I sure hope one of them was your wife. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. And all those references were local Miami references to Rick and Suds and a bunch of people who unfortunately are no longer with us. I'm kidding, guys. Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I just want that Matthew Hooker dude to know to stay away from Nicole Kidman because she's mine. Okay? You stalking her? That's my meat. Don't get between a dog and his meat. Okay, here is Tim on the Phil Hendry Show. Tim?
Tim, how are I'm Tim.
Yeah, Tim, how are you?
Listen, I've been listening to you since you've been in Miami, and I think you're brilliant. I had a question for
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, man.
The technical aspect of how you switch over from your on-air persona to disc jockey.
Yeah.
Or talk. How do you do that? I mean, is there a physical switch? Are you wearing a headset?
No, I got a microphone and a telephone. So the character is done over the telephone, and my voice is done on the microphone, and I just fade the mic down when I'm using the phone.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. And I know that when I, especially when I first got to Los Angeles, there were all these brainiacs and all these guys that figured they had the world figured out saying, oh, well, he's got DBX and he's using compression, he's using cell sync and he has a limiter and all. And you know what, Henry? What you're doing doesn't take talent. When you can, you know, electronically alter your voice, it's called doing a character voice, you idiot. You ever heard of it? So
I'm further amazed how you don't you rarely get confused about who you are.
On the air, yeah. Off the air is a whole different thing. Yeah. All right, Tim.
Thank you.
Good man. Thanks for calling. Bye. Okay. Bye. Yeah. Off the air, we never know who we are. By the way, I saw where the people in Cincinnati are marching. The people are marching to protest the cop and the shooting and the whole thing that happened there. And I was watching that, and it reminded me of Martin Luther King. It reminded me of the whole. Sort of with the crucible in which the civil rights movement and black activism was born, which was of the sort of the marches in the 60s, right? And here are, you know, black folks marching again this time because they, you know, they would rather that people who don't have guns be shot. They'd rather they not be shot by police. And I can't say as I blame them. I can't say as I can go against the opinion that if you don't have a gun, it's likely you're not going to shoot the cop. So how is it that we got shot again? But I also was thinking about Malcolm X. There's a guy that believed in gun ownership. He believed in self-determination. He believed in he believed in not taking a government handout. Malcolm X really represented America. And yet he don't have a day. Martin Luther King does. How does that work? King's the guy that said, "Let's just have peace." And he gets a day. Malcolm X said, "I believe in gun ownership, which is near and dear to the heart of every white man out there," and he don't have no day. I bet you guys would be happy if Malcolm X had a day. Now, Arizona, you can swing with that one, right? And Vermont and whoever the hell else. Hell, if I knew that, that's right. I think that Mississippi, if you know that one, that Malcolm X, I got to call him Martin X that way. Malcolm X believed in private gun ownership big time. Now you cats will put his face on a flag, won't you? Okay, here's Tim on the Phil Hendry Show. Tim?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Pretty good.
Great.
Hey, I wanted to talk about one of my favorite bits you did. It was like the third show I'd ever listened to, and it was Brass.
Yeah?
And he wanted a national holiday for Cesar Chavez.
Right.
To protest the they were picking the noodles off the plants or something like that.
Picking noodles off of plants.
Yeah, like he wanted, because all the Mexican workers or something, he wanted to boycott noodles. Because all the Mexican workers had to pick the noodles or something off plants.
Boy, I don't know how we got to that. Did it start out that way? That sounds like third act.
I don't know.
So in other words, what you're
on the internet.
Yeah, what you're telling me, Tim, is that Brass believed that noodles grew on trees.
Yeah, well, he didn't know anything about anything. Yeah. I mean, he didn't know Spanish,
right.
And he wanted to, you know, set up this straight holiday, and
that's what I dig.
It just pissed.
I dig that character because he represents that ignorant activist type. Who loves to tout his roots and loves to, and I'm not just talking about Hispanics. I mean, anybody that likes to run around talking about their heritage and what they know about their heritage, you could stick in a can. Like me, you know, Irish American. Oh, I don't know anything about Ireland. I mean, I met a couple from Ireland once in Mexico. That's as far close to Ireland as I got, Mexico. So
yeah, same.
There's a lot of people like that. Who are you? Where are you from? Where are your people from?
Same thing, Irish.
They're Irish? Do you know anything about, like...
Not a damn thing.
Who cares? You like to... You eat hamburgers. That's it.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, Tim.
Hamburgers and hot dogs and barbecue.
Yeah, Brass is a guy. He can't speak Spanish. He thinks that... He doesn't know what Los Angeles means, you know? He knows it's Spanish. It's got some... Yeah.
every time you'd ask him something, you'd hear the keyboard type, and he was typing on the internet, and you'd just say, get off the internet. Oh, hold on 1 minute.
No, that's right. I forgot about brass and that internet thing.
Yeah, he's looking everything up. People would ask him what, like, Olivier Como Va meant or something. Oh, that's a real, or something like that. He's like, yeah, that's a common call that we use to unify people.
Yeah, Olivier Como Va. What does it mean? Something like hello or how you doing?
I think it's, yeah.
What's happening?
Come with me or something like that.
There you go. That's brass. Thanks, Tim. Yep. Good to talk to you, brother. Okay, bye. Here is Andrew on the Phil Hendry Show. Andrew?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good.
My question is, I'm a new listener in Houston.
Yeah.
And I know that you do the routines, but it seems like most of the callers do not. And a few weeks ago, you let a caller off the hook when you came back from the break, and you kind of apologized to her. And
that was a young lady who was upset about Oklahoma City bombing or something? Yeah.
This one was a routine about fat people and losing weight, and she started talking about her husband, and she tried to be thin, and she kind of broke down, and it sounded kind of borderline suicidal, and you came back from the break and said, hey, I want to let you know, lady, you're doing a good job. I made up the voice.
Right.
I was the guy from, you know, who wanted
right,
to
I remember.
Be like Survivor. What's your ground rules? How do you decide when to let them off?
Well, let me ask you a question. How did you figure out that it's me doing the voices?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. I happened to flip through the dial. I caught the show one night.
Well, maybe it was because I was on the air saying that I was doing the voices.
I think maybe I caught you early on at the beginning.
Yeah. So, in other words, you found out that it was me doing the voices by me saying it, but you don't want me to say it to anybody else.
Well, I kind of figured some of the voices in the routines, it's so obvious that it's you.
Well, that's what we used to think.
They're so outrageous, but no one figures it out.
Well, that's because you're intelligent, Andrew, but you'd be surprised. I used to believe that, and I used to believe that the bits were so outrageous that, eventually people would figure it out for themselves. But the fact is they don't. And what happens is they not only do they not, but they tune out. They leave because they just think it's a weird-ass show. When they find out
it is
very weird ass. But when they find out that it's me constructing this stuff, then they stay. So the point that I'm making here, and the overall point that needs to be made, is that you have to sign your name to the painting, man. If you paint the Mona Lisa, why can't you sign your name to the bottom of that and say Leonardo da Vinci? Or is it supposed to be a secret?
That's right. I think you take credit for better or worse.
For better or for worse.
For your bits.
I
was going to say, one of your best bits, and I was hysterical, was the guy talking about his son, the dumb so-and-so who jumped on the hand grenade.
Yes, that.
And you had people really wound up. That was really, really good.
Yeah, that was Lloyd, who believed that his son, he called him the dumbass. And
if
you can believe it, Phil, this dumbass jumped on a hand grenade and blew himself up and saved six other guys. What a dumbbell. Yeah, you could never get past the fact. That was something that my father used to speak of. He was in World War II, and he used to talk about heroes as being the dumb guys. That you never stuck your neck out, that you just kept your nose down and you did your job. And it was always a very interesting point of view. I wouldn't call it cowardly necessarily. It was kind of a commonly held opinion by a lot of those grunts.
Well, he was a good character to get everybody worked up.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show and listen to you every night on the way home.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thanks
Appreciate
for calling.
It.
Okay, brother, bye-bye. And here's Bob on the Phil Hendry Show. Bob?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, my favorite bit. Can I tell you about that?
Yeah.
I was driving from Phoenix to Tucson. It was 10 o'clock at night, and this was back in '97. And you weren't here in Tucson. You were at KFI.
Uh huh.
And so I could pick you up on the AM, and it'd fade in and fade out. And 6:40 happens to be a Tejano station around here somewhere too. So every now and then it would go back to Tejano, and then go back to you.
What's Tejano?
You know, it's a Mexican.
Indian?
You know,
I thought it was like the local Hopi station or something.
This is Navajo for all the southwestern United States.
Okay, go ahead.
It'd be you, and then it evolves and be, hey, I thought you were. But anyway, I was driving in, and some guy had just gotten in trouble in L.A. He was supposed to be cremating bodies and throwing their ashes out to sea. And he got busted. He wasn't actually throwing them out to sea. He was keeping them in cigar boxes or something. And you had the Irish priest on. And he was complaining because when the police raided this guy, each box only had like 12 pounds of ashes.
Uh-huh.
And he was going, hey, where's the 170 other pounds of this guy, and people were calling in, and they were going, oh, no, man. You remember that one?
I don't.
You don't remember?
No,
you
I don't.
Too many brain cells, dead man. It was the best thing
I do. I have a lot of crushed brain cells.
I've got a few
I'm
myself.
Sure.
But this
the guy weighed 200 pounds, but there's only 12 pounds of ashes.
Well,
where's the other 188?
They're going, oh, no, sir, you have to remember that a body is, like, mostly water. And I can't do
how
Irish,
did we get but, into that, man?
But he would go, oh, no, you're wrong. And and he'd
funny.
Always finish with saying, for Christ, he'd say, for Christ's sakes. And, you know, people were beside themselves. This priest would go, for Christ's sakes. And they'd go, what did you say?
It was an Irish priest that
yeah,
was doing it. I've never done. I've got, you know, a little bit. You know, I've got the old, I've got the Barry Fitzgerald, which everybody does. You know, this
guy?
Thing, right. You know, it's a very generic Irish accent.
What?
It's not.
But
I can't believe I put people on with that pile of crap.
No,
okay.
He was a Catholic priest.
A Catholic priest.
And it was hilarious because, and it was the first time I ever heard you. And you got to keep in mind, it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm, you know.
Stoned.
Surfing.
Yeah, you're driving. Yeah, you know. And you've been drinking. Yeah.
And I'm driving from Tucson.
Perfect.
Phoenix,
all the way to
Tucson.
Phoenix after drinking a bottle of Johnny Walker.
That's
I got it.
Exactly right. And anyway, and so I'm thinking, at first I was biting off on it, and then, but when the guy started going, for Christ's sakes, I was going, no, this
can't be a
right,
priest.
Man.
I got to look that one up, Bob, but thank you. Thanks for the call tonight.
It was a great one, man.
Okay, man. Thank you. Bye. Can we look under Irish priest 97? Oh, what's that? You didn't file it like that? Yeah, let's just get out. Hey, Brass, man, have you got the computer so we can look up Irish priest 97?
I do it right now, man. It ain't in there.
All right. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I really don't mean to be cruel, but I gotta say this. It doesn't feel to me like we have a president. And I say that with the greatest of respect for Mr. Bush, but that must prove that Clinton, and I never thought Clinton, though I was a supporter of his, I never thought he was that charismatic. But it must prove what a larger-than-life figure Clinton was, for better or for worse. See, presidents, and you can go back to, in my life, Kennedy, presidents that are larger than life draw an incredible amount of hate as well as admiration. It's true. Kennedy, you have to remember, and if you weren't old enough to remember this, you must know this. Kennedy was hated. He was despised by many people. He wasn't just a very popular president, especially among young people. And he wasn't just a president that, you know, has a sort of historical armor with civil rights, etc. He's a guy whose guts were hated by a lot of people. They wanted to put him on trial for treason. They thought he was the scum of the earth. Clinton the same way. Now along comes Bush. It's like this guy in an empty suit. I saw the guy on TV the other day. I went, who the hell is that? Oh, yeah, that's, this guy was so nondescript, had so very little to say, had so very little ability to say it, had so very little panache, push, enter anything that I, who is that bum that, that's right, it's Bush. I forgot Clinton isn't president anymore. I mean, it was literally one of those. And I don't mean to be cruel, but I guess I am being cruel and maybe gratuitously so. But what the hell, it's the last few minutes of the show. By the way, I'd like to recommend something, and I mean very serious when I recommend this. What'd you say, 53 what, Mike? Okay. I want to recommend a magazine for all of you guys. It's published in Britain. It's called Viz, V-I-Z. It is singularly the funniest magazine. I've been reading it for about 15 years. It's the funniest magazine in the world. So visit their website and then get a subscription to Viz, V-I-Z. You may regret it, but at least I didn't say you won't regret it, which would have been corny and very stereotypical.
All right, you're going to see your brother in an Impala?
Well, actually, I'm going with my parents, and guess what they have? They have a Buick Roadmaster.
All right, that hurts. You know that hurts. Yeah, and you know that hurts me when you
and
say
you
that.
You know what? They worked hard enough. They're the grandparents that are going. We're going to visit my brother. They worked hard all of their lives.
Well, there you go.
a Buick Roadmaster and buy the gas to put in it.
Okay, so now Lori just said her grandparents are going to visit the brother.
All right, so the grandparents are going to visit the grandkid.
Well, they're going there, and I'm tagging along with them. So,
all right, so
points
as
for
long as they can, they prove that they went to see grandchild or some way.
I don't need to
way,
give any proof to anybody.
I would like to see some kind of proof.
Well, I don't care what you want.
Well,
I don't even have to give the president of the United States
an
itinerary.
All right, I would like to at this time, Phil, have this lady's name and.
You will not. Do not give any name, Lori.
You know what?
I know it's Lori.
You are a flashlight cop. You don't scare me.
A signed note from a grandchild or anything stating that I saw Nana or some kind of a small thing like that. I don't think that's too much to ask.
It's none of your business.
Have a child in crayon
it's
just like that.
It's none of your organization's business. If you want to live like this, why don't you go to a country where that is?
This sounds very fascistic.
What?
I said it sounds very fascistic.
I'm not familiar.
Nazi.
I'm sure you're not.
Nazism.
It means why don't you go back over and get with your or some group where you can enforce all of these Nazi rules.
Well, let me ask you, Lori, how much gasoline do you think you use a week?
Probably 15 gallons a week.
All right, that's probably too much.
Well, you know
that's
what? I am so proud to offend
that's
you.
That's $45 a week.
No, what it's not. It's not here where I live.
Well, it potentially is. I'm saying by the summertime, it could be up around $3.
And what I'm telling you is, I'm one of the people that you're trying to protect.
Lori says
the
that
middle
she's
middle class, poor people who can't travel and go anywhere.
That's right.
Who are these people?
I'm trying to protect you.
But you don't need to protect me. I go to work, and we go to work so we can afford our gas.
All right, Lori, what I would like to do at this time is
we go to work so we can afford the trips we want to take, and we sure don't need to start putting down an itinerary.
All right, please, Lori, put your grandparents on the phone or someone.
Don't do it.
Please, Mr. Henry.
Why would I do that?
I'd like to speak with them now.
Well, I don't live with them. I'm an adult.
Can I have their number?
No,
don't give out any number, okay?
You know, I'm scared. The reason I called is that when I turned the radio on and heard this conversation, this scares me.
Well, ma'am, I'm trying to...
Look, in the United States of America, Jay, you do not have the right to impede the travel of anyone unless we're under a state of martial law.
Oh, bull crap. Where'd you pull that one out of? That's real good, Phil.
This whole thing is just crazy. I know that people try to spark interest for debate.
You know, you're trying
but
to.
This is scary.
It is a little scary. And Citizens Auxiliary Police has been in trouble with the police before, Lori.
Now, Mr. Ernie, that is not fair. That was in 1996. That was at the Rose Parade in Pasadena. And that was entirely wrong. One of our members never took any of his clothing off. There was a situation.
You know the problem you guys had out at the Rose Parade. So don't try. Covering it up. Never took his clothes off.
If you come on
right on Channel 5.
That was Bob Eubanks.
All right. I'm sorry?
I said, all I know is that if we're in the great state of Texas where I live, if he comes on my property,
Texas.
He's trespassing.
Ma'am, all I want to do is take...
Folk, we're going to pull out our rifle and we'll straighten it out.
Well, that's wonderful, that country folk and everything. Look, just so long as nobody tries to jump me from behind, you know, and give me the old 1-2.
No, you know, what scares me is that we would even have to try to... We would have to defend ourselves on our own property against people like you whose business it is not at all to begin with.
All I want to do is take a peek around.
No, it's none of your business. If I wanted to do wild things in our home,
all
that's
right.
Why we bought our home.
You sound pretty ungrateful for all the stuff I try to do.
No,
all right.
You know what? You're right there. That's
all
the first right thing you said.
Thank
I'm not
you,
grateful
dear,
for
your...
anything you would try to do. And
thank you.
It would scare me if it's some group.
Blah, blah, blah.
Phil Henry.